Why do Christians still struggle? Well, because we can walk according to the flesh by natural human resource. Learn how to draw upon and live by the right resource, Christ. Next on Living in Christ. All Christians experience the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Maybe there's a particular sin that you really struggle letting go of, like anger, lust, or pride. Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith creates a desire to do good and please Him. And yet we can, and sometimes do, cave into the pressure to walk according to the flesh and sin. This is Living in Christ with Pastor Bob Hoekstra. We're right in the middle of an edifying and liberating series called Counseling God's Way. Join us in Romans chapter 6 as we learn how to say no to sin and yes to God.
Let me share a, somewhat silly illustration, but I think it has some profound explanation that matches biblical truth. Consider the lilies. There's a lesson there that is explained by the word, lest you misunderstand the message from the lilies. Let me refer to Humpty Dumpty, if you don't mind. We weren't big on nursery rhymes with our kids. We started out pretty big, and it kind of hit us one day. I think Bible stories would be better than nursery rhymes. But Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. Let's let Humpty be Adam and all of us related to Adam. Oh, yes. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, the greatest fall in the universe, the fall into sin. And there he is, spiritually splattered, unresponsive to God, broken and lacking. But all the king's horses and all the king's men are gathered around Humpty Dumpty. They're going to put him together again. And if you look carefully in this scene, you can probably see Sigmund Freud there. He thinks he's got the answer. It's somehow related to the id, the ego, and the superego. Still don't see where he got that in the word, but of course he wasn't looking there. Carl Jung is there working hard. After all, he has the profound insight of Jesus Christ as an archetype of a Savior. Archetype of a Savior, you mean an ancient symbol reminding us we need help? That's not the Jesus we know and serve. We need more than an ancient reminder. There were people in need of help. Abraham Maslow's there. He wants to make that egg all he could ever be, self-actualize him. But all the king's horses and all the king's men in this story too can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But the Lord has a remedy. The Father speaks forth from heaven and says, "Back off, all the king's horses and all the king's men. Scrape that egg up, nail it to the cross of my son. We'll just execute it and bury it. And then in his place, we'll raise a whole new egg." Who can come up with that? Who could even think that up but God himself? And no one but God can make this theological potentiality that seems so mystical, only he can make it a reality in our lives. But that's exactly why he put it in the Word and said, knowing this. God, help us to know this. This is the depth to which God reached to bring us reality, both in diagnosis and also his remedy for our need. We are now new creatures in Christ, no longer slaves to sin. How so? The old person who lived in this body could not say no to sin. The new creature raised up in Christ can learn increasingly to say no to sin and yes to God. Thereby, this body of sin is rendered powerless. It no longer has to run the show though it still runs it for everyone in the world and for many Christians. Why? Because they're still walking according to the flesh, drawing on the same resource men in Adam draw upon, when we're called to walk according to the Spirit. We need to know these facts. We're new creatures in Christ. In counseling God's way, the old man was crucified with Christ. He was buried. A new spiritual life, a new spiritual entity in existence and identity is now ours in Christ. God's remedy is not psychological theory, which at best can only rehash, reform, and try to reshape the old life in Adam. It cannot touch, produce, or affect the new life in Christ. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My ways are so above your ways, and these are the high and lofty ways of God." These are facts we need to know. Then what do you do with them? Verse 11, count on the facts. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can reckon this true, consider it so, conclude it's the facts, count on it as real, and God to make it real in our lives. That He buried the old and raised us new, and that we can actually learn to walk in newness of life. Then verse 13, knowing these facts, counting on these facts, we can present ourselves to God. "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, this very body and all its faculties, as instruments of righteousness to God." This is the decision the new man has a desire to make and can learn increasingly to make. The decision of no to fleshly impulses from this body of sin and even temptations of the enemy, and say, "Here, Lord, use my new life in this temple I dwell in for righteousness' sake." I was reading this one day and I was thinking, boy, it'd be great if the story just ended right there. I mean, my goodness, Romans 5, the problem, the solution, Romans 6, joined to Christ where the new life is. Hey, there's enough there to live now and forever in fullness of life. Let's just stop right there. What I was really saying is, why does Romans 7 have to follow? Well, because in Romans 7, we're facing the everyday choices we all make. In Romans 7, we're learning practically why we so desperately need the resources described in Romans 6. Because Romans 7, in the second half of the chapter, is about walking according to the flesh. Walking according to the flesh. Why do Christians still struggle? Because we can walk according to the flesh. The flesh, natural human resource, what Adam gave to us through all those succeeding generations. It's all the world has to draw on. But if we draw on it, we'll live, think, talk, act like the world. We'll even put our hope where the world puts their hope. Walking according to the flesh. Walking according to the flesh, verses 18 and 19, lead to a fleshly struggle. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment," I'm in verse 18 of chapter 7. Romans 7:18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Paul says, I know in me, that is in my flesh, my natural humanity, that which remains of me that I got from Adam, human existence, a body, and oh, that scary part, the brain. In that, nothing good dwells. How can that be? Later on, he'll say, you're full of goodness and full of knowledge and competent to counsel. Well, the point is, the goodness is God's goodness. The knowledge is God's knowledge. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, why do you call me good? None is good but God alone. Boy, what a statement. In other words, are you confessing my deity? Do you know where goodness resides only in God? In us, in our flesh, take Christ out of our lives. What's left? Flesh, natural humanity. Nothing good dwells there. And then the struggle, not doing what we want to do and doing what we hate. A fleshly struggle. Our striving to live up to the law and standard of God on our own best dedicated Christian effort instead of learning to draw on a whole new resource of life in Christ.
This is Living in Christ, and we just aired a part of Bob Hoekstra's 6-part seminar called Counseling God's Way. It's available in multiple formats. Request it on DVD or CD. Pastor Bob has also written a book on the subject called How to Counsel God's Way, and in it he covers much of the same material. The gulf between man's way of counseling and God's way of counseling are ever widening. And Bob's book, How to Counsel God's Way, goes into great depth to explain you can be an effective counselor by relying on God and His Word to be your guide. You can order by phone at 877-600-LICM. Again, call 877-600-5426, and we can help you with the ordering details. Or utilize our e-store, where it's super easy to order resources like this. We're on the web at livinginchrist.org. By the way, it's available as an ebook as well. Get it on iBooks or Amazon Kindle. We also have a media library which contains many of Bob's biblical studies and can be downloaded with ease. You can also listen to our programs there too. That's livinginchrist.org. Stay connected with us by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us at COL128 on Facebook and Twitter, and COL_128 on Instagram. Join us next time as we continue to learn the necessary steps to counseling God's way. You're on Living in Christ with Pastor Bob Hoekstra.